Lime, duh.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Wow, wow, wow. Woo. Bro. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Shut your hole!
I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up, which is going around again, about professional wrestling, Dan Black.
I've been here for 12 years!
A.K.A. Dunsky Blackamora, A.K.A. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. the modern-day goof and spoof, Ha Raja.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, wee, yeah, yeah,
gabba,
yeah,
gabba, yeah, wee, gabba, gabba, gay, gabba, gabba,
yeah,
gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, gabba, gay,
gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, 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 gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy oops, we caliente wrestling reactions. Woo. Hey, everybody, what is up? Welcome to the podcast this week. I am feeling spicy. I'm feeling fine. I'm highly caffeinated for the first time in a while, really caffeinated up on this podcast. And before we get into it, by the way, this podcast is grassroots. We could not be more grassroots. I'm doing a lot of shit for this podcast nowadays. So if you want to support this podcast, if you want to help out this pod, Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And by the way, we're never asking for handouts. We got tons of bonus content on there. It's ridiculous. 2 8-hour episodes. We also have our weekly roundup episodes. We're talking about AEW NXT focused episodes. We had a post NXT takeover in your house episode with me and Tulo on there on Patreon. And also every Monday we have the Cow Movie World Order, where we watch a movie with a pro wrestler in it. And this week we watched Roadhouse. That is out right now. Join the Cow Movie Club. We talk about Terry Funk's brief appearance in Roadhouse. Ridiculous movie. And next week we are watching, our second ever Triple H movie, which Aaron says looks like a total piece of shit. Which makes it more fun to talk about, a movie Inside Out from 2011 starring Triple H and Michael Rapaport. Rapaport's mad funny. So, I think that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Check that out. So support the pod on patreon.com. Also, Dan Black Attack podcast this week. All our podcasts are kind of this week are coming out at weird times, but we're back on schedule starting next week. Dan Black Attack podcast will be coming out on Monday also. So check those out, baby. And anyway, time to introduce him. He's here. He's a nasty, nasty boy. Nasty Newman.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
Wow. How About It City? It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like you're indoors at How About It City right now? In a cafe?
Yeah, I'm in the penthouse of How About It Tower.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I knew you've been too elite for us.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. I mean, there's ridiculous. There's so much to talk about, and then mm-hmm. so little, and also so little to talk about. There's so much, yeah. So little,
so much to talk about, and so little of it matters. Yeah, it's awesome.
This is the Drew McIntyre NXT shirt. I don't like any of the Drew shirts, except for I do such like an, that one blue one they put out.
Such but, an interesting yeah. choice to have. Like the things on the side
yeah.
go behind his name, McIntyre. Like it literally looks like they just slapped it together.
Yeah,
like
I they know. Didn't I edit don't understand it at that at all. I was looking close at that. I didn't really get that at all. Anyway, as always, the podcast is getting back to normal here, but the times are not getting back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always, all these podcasts, we are the Cow Podcast is firmly stands with the Black Lives Matter movement. So we'll, you know, be talking about that stuff as well as it comes up. First thing I'd like to say is, if you haven't listened to it, as Wrestling Marks, check out the New Day's podcast they put out this week, where the New Day kind of talk about their experience with racism in America and growing up in a country where you don't feel the same. It's pretty fucking powerful, pretty amazing, really emotional stuff. I was listening to it and was, you know, feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
Did you hear?
I did. I watched it. I listened to it.
I didn't watch it. I should have watched it. I didn't realize there was a video.
Yeah. The, what do you call it? I just think, like, it's important for wrestlers, for people with platforms to speak out against this stuff.
Yeah.
I think as a society, we put too much, we tend to be like, okay, Black people, teach us about this. Or like, okay, Black people, like, it's, you have to be the superhero. You have to like help us. We do this, especially to Black women and Black kids a lot. There's a video going around of a little Black girl, having to defend her humanity, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like the fact that she feels like she has to take up that mantle, and that we have to have this conversation where a child has to like, has to tell somebody that she's a human being. And I think, I'm just going to jump right into it. Like, there's been comments on the Facebook group about how, oh, it doesn't matter whether or not a wrestler speaks out. It doesn't matter whether they post on social media about it. These are all coming from white people. So I don't understand how like an adult human being can with a straight face be like, oh, this doesn't matter. When,
well, yeah,
you not only don't speak for anybody but yourself, you certainly don't speak for Black people about what matters and what doesn't matter in terms of like getting this message out there.
Right. I think that, so you're referring to something I said. I think we should give the context, which is,
yeah,
I had separately looked up kind of which wrestlers were not posting anything. And I didn't intend by any means to, let's say, shame them, even though I don't know if that's the right term. But I didn't really – I just was curious. It was for me, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just for me to be like, I know Braun Strowman is extremely – because I don't think this issue is right or left, right?
Right.
And right. I don't think it's right or left-wing issue. And so I – it's like where, yeah, I tend to be a left-leaning guy, right? But – doesn't stop me from liking Braun Strowman. If he wants to, we could talk about the Second Amendment. We could talk about, you know, whatever. I don't need to get into the issues. We could talk about what makes right. you, what kind of freedoms you think you are important to you and whatnot. We can get into that. And also, I don't think it's, I do think there was a time where, there's always been a time where it's like, you know, the conversation's always been like, hey, just because we disagree doesn't mean we shouldn't get along. And I've always believed in that. Like, I've never censored any right-wing person who's listened to this podcast. I love that I have different listeners. It's part of what I love about this podcast is, like, when someone messages me and I'll click in their profile, like, on Facebook, and I'm like, wow, this person lives in, like, Idaho. I've never been to mm-hmm. Idaho, but we connect. Like, I think that's part of what's beautiful about Kyle Podcast. It's, like, you know,
right.
something I'm very proud of about the podcast.
To like not to interrupt, but to support your point here, there's a guy, I'm not going to name him because I don't want to put him on blast. There's a guy in the group who I never agree with. He posts a lot of stuff and I'm always like, you're wrong, right? But he posted something about this. It was an article from a source I would never go to. It was like a Christian libertarian website. This article,
these websites are getting out of control.
But this particular article illustrated the point very well. And so just to illustrate your point, where this isn't a left or right thing, this is about how many excuses are you willing to make for state violence? Like, how many excuses are you willing to make to say, oh, well, the state can murder people sometimes, right? And even this extremely right-wing libertarian Christian website was like, no, that's not, you know, no, it's wrong when the state murders people extra judiciously, period.
Right.
So like, just to like support your point of like, this isn't a left or right. It's the issue's clear. And I think if you go out of your way to start parsing things, then like, you got the wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah, well, it's kind of. There's also a thing where, just because everyone is speaking out against this particular the murder of George Floyd, and everyone's agreeing it's a murder, and even super people who are notoriously big protectors of cop lobbies and whatnot are saying it should be first degree murder. They're going as far as that. Doesn't negate the fact that in the past there's been almost no consequences for this behavior, you know?
Right.
So now all of a sudden you've seen something that's too far for you, and then you're pulling a like, yeah, we agree, but situation, and it's went too long. But I wanted to go back to my original point, which was that I looked at some wrestlers, and you know, because I don't see this as a right left issue, I just was curious who would kind of be silent right now,
right.
And and I didn't look at every wrestler because it's not important because this was just for me, right?
Right.
And I looked at Braun Strowman, someone I know has different beliefs than me in a lot of ways. And he posted even just a black square, right? The minimal thing. But he wrote a nice little message on the bottom. And I think the difference between me and a lot of people is – people say the black square. It's like, oh, you just posted a black square. I think it matters. I think the black square mattered a lot. I was kind of bummed that everyone went against the black square because, like, simplicity is very powerful, right? Yeah. And, like, unity is very powerful. So for me, it was like, yes, the black squares were misguided a little bit because people were hashtagging Black Lives Matters, which blocked a lot of information on the hashtags. It was just blacked out, right?
Yeah.
But also, you know, when you got to think about your initial scroll and you see that. The amount of people that were converted just by seeing people they respect, a number of people they respect, all have this unity, it is powerful. So I was like, you know what? I think this is actually helpful. And then it was kind of sabotaged, you know, sabotage is too strong. People had good intentions, but it got sabotaged because of the negatives of it. Anyway, my point is that I think a wrestler, Drew McIntyre, the WWE champion, posts a black square. That changes people's minds, I believe.
Right.
You know, I think that
makes people... I believe it too.
Right. So I think it does matter. So I looked at AJ Styles is the point, who's a wrestler I have probably the most merch of. Is a guy that I respect a lot, but I know I've kind of turned a blind eye to things he's done in the past, things he said and whatnot. But again, didn't hold it against him because he's different, and also we make mistakes, and I don't need anyone to be like a Boy Scout and whatnot. But for me, it was like kind of a final straw where CM Punk called him out also and was like, yeah, that's no surprise. And he didn't post anything, but he finds time to keep posting his video game posts. And it just felt icky to me. And I just said to everyone, you know what? I'm not going to buy his merch anymore until I see some word from him. Because I think it matters, especially he's a guy from Georgia. And he is I think that kids really look up to him. He's been the WWE champion. And that's it. I just think I imagine that all his coworkers he works with saying like, oh, this guy's kind of silent, hasn't done anything. Now, that's it. So I just said, for me personally, this guy's one of my guys. I'm still a fan of his. I'm not going to lie. I watched him on SmackDown. I was like, this guy's looking awesome still. Right. I was like, those gloves are dope. The yellow looks awesome on his gloves. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm disappointed in the guy, and I could choose what I do personally with my money. And I felt like on the Facebook group, which is still the best Facebook group for wrestling, even the one guy who keeps trying to leave this thing keeps coming back, which is hilarious. Right. And I understand because I'm in a
which,
lot
by
of
the way, next terrible. Time you leave, next time you leave, stay gone. Stay gone.
And so that's it. I just said what I'm doing, right?
Right.
And it's amazing the pushback you can get, the amount of energy. People were saying things like, hey, I think that like he's kind of like he's a Midwest he's a father of four, not a big social media guy, blah, blah, blah. Well, first off.
Wrong.
I also think your public personality of WWE doesn't really work like that. You do have 2.3 million followers on there.
Right.
And also – I also think that I also kind of think that, yeah, because like, you're just because you're not a social media guy doesn't mean I can't choose to buy your merch.
Right. Right.
And I also think you spending your time – no, here was the argument. Someone said he's not a social media guy, and also I don't think he should be the only one called out because other wrestlers are not doing it. And someone said I personally also don't feel comfortable posting about this stuff, so maybe he feels that way. And I'm saying, yeah, well, I'm saying a guy who is someone who gets my money is someone who's comfortable to stand up to this kind of injustice. The Rock has so much to lose by posting the stuff he's posted. The Rock is universally, broadly a hero to everybody. Everyone loves him. He has movies, huge box office. People can say he has a whole fan base. I imagine all police officers who will stop going to see his movies, right?
Right.
Stop giving him money. But it was too far for him. It was too far for everybody. I think it was too far for anybody to really not be silent. Go on the New York Times. If you are someone who needs to see this, if you've not done your due diligence, you should. If you can handle it, if you watch the actual murder of this guy, there's just no. It'll make you outraged. It's outrageous. And so what AJ Silence does is that it kind of, in my mind, and this is just for me personally, right?
Right.
Is what he does is that his enables people who post stuff like George Floyd's criminal record and shit that's completely irrelevant to how you should be treated by the state.
Right.
Like due process being held in the street, that the police are now executioners.
Which, by the way, you know, fucking 10 years ago, people like Alex Jones were railing against. They would have the extrajudicial murder of somebody by a police officer. He would say things like, it's the cop's job to enforce the laws that Congress makes, not to interpret who's guilty and blah, blah. Like, these are core right-wing values, which further illustrates the hypocrisy and the cynical, just self-absorbed, knee-jerk defensive reaction that some people are having to this. Like, okay, you're afraid of this. Try not to have your reaction be that of a complete fucking asshole who's like, him speaking out means absolutely nothing. To you, it means nothing.
Right.
Like, well,
also, I'm not saying – they're also the other jump people make because people can't handle the nuance of our day. And you better be able to start handling the nuance of today because we live in a really nuanced society. We know? And it's not going to get simpler. So if you don't know what a trans person is, look it up. Get information on it because if you can't handle the nuance that I'm not – saying AJ Styles is racist. I'm not saying that. I'm literally not saying that.
I mean, I am.
Right. Well, Well, that's what you're saying. I'm personally not saying that. I don't have any proof of that. I'm just saying.
I do. Right. It's not about his silence. It's about. So we're talking about things that AJ's maybe not comfortable saying. Right. He's not comfortable speaking out. Here's something that AJ Styles was comfortable saying. Okay. And I quote. Since The Rock is not black or white, usually people like that can say full N-word whenever they want. That's something AJ Styles is comfortable saying.
Wait, can we break that down for a second? So he said he thinks that The Rock is like has no race?
Right. He says,
oh my God.
Since The Rock is not black or white,
right,
one or the other,
right,
usually people like that can say, and then he said the full N-word with a hard R whenever they want.
Right.
And it was this little snippet of a conversation he thought he was having in private. Right. It got picked up on a recording of a podcast and got published. Setting aside whatever argument, Hulk Hogan argument you want to make about private.
Sorry. What's the second part of that? The first part is he has no race.
So he's sort of saying
– He can't say – he's saying you can't say the N-word because he's not a race, or he's saying you can?
No, he's – so obviously – okay, so I'm going to make an assumption as to the context of the rest of the conversation.
Right.
But if we use kind of our process of elimination here, a statement like this really kind of only fits in like one context, which is how come I can't say the N-word? Who can say the N-word?
Oh.
How come – and then he says, since The Rock is not black or white, usually people like that can say N-word whenever they want.
Wait, oh, no. The Rock can, I guess, say – that if you wanted to, because he is black.
Right.
So he doesn't think. See, the thing, my problem with AJ is that he's a dope.
Right.
That's my problem with AJ, is that he's kind of like willfully ignorant.
Right.
And so that's kind of the problem. It's like, whereas, I'm sorry, but like, John Cena, I unfortunately for me, maybe it's time for me to grow up, but I see the WWE Championship as meaning something. Like, when I was a kid, the WWE Champion, Hulk Hogan, right? He was like the American hero, and kids looked up to him. Now, look behind the veil of that.
Right.
He had some problems, whatever. He was more of a Hollywood Hogan or whatever. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at, like, John Cena, right? I mean, the dude, like, that's, I believe that the WWE Champion, there should be a champion who, like, stands for, what do you call it? Correct?
The values? Common good? Yeah.
Right? Like, the common good should stand for, like, whatever the civil rights side of modern society looks like, whatever liberties people are fighting for in America. I take that seriously. That, and I think AJ has that like Americana vibe. He's like a dad of four and blah blah blah, and then most of the time is a baby face. And yeah, so to see the fact that behind the curtain, it's kind of like Hogan all over again, and it's right. Frustrating.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, and then people say, "Oh, well, what about this? What about the time this other wrestler we're not fucking talking about said this? What about the other time this unrelated fucking thing happened? What about," and it's like, all you're doing is like pointing out other examples of shit you don't care about.
And kudos to Randy Orton.
Right.
Of all people, who actually decided to think for a minute and said, I was wrong. Think about how many All Lives Matters tweets he's put out.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to actually just go back on it, I give him props. I mean, yeah. Right.
Don't forget, Dan, him speaking out means absolutely nothing.
Well, I actually have a quote of him saying he's talking about all his old, every single one of those old tweets that he put out with All Lives Matter in it.
Stupid, 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 stupid.
So he put out 15 of them.
There's always five or six more stupids than I ever think there's going to be.
It's so long.
No matter how many times I hear it. The last thing I'm going to say is that, like, I just don't think it's not as you're okay. So to the people who are pushing back against this, it doesn't look to everybody else the way you think it looks to everybody else. We can all see your hypocrisy. We can all see your fear. We can all see your bad faith arguments. We can all see your whataboutisms, and you look like a fool. Like you're not being as slick as you think you are.
Wait, so, and then the other argument they were making was, then shouldn't I hold WWE accountable? And a couple things. And maybe because we do this podcast, we kind of, I mean, barely profit off of WWE on this podcast, right? And so they're saying, like, all right, so, isn't it, like, I make money off of them. Aren't I kind of a fraud in that way? And you're like, okay.
No.
So, yeah, your argument is, first off, that I can't handle a personal issue with a wrestler. It's not even a big issue either. It's just I'm not going to give him $30 for a T-shirt until I see some progress. That's all I was saying. That's literally all I said. Now we got to make it, oh, it's all about above. Do we not? Does this podcast not? So we should stop watching? So WWE should have no accountability? I mean, this podcast, we always criticize their behavior. Always.
Right.
From Saudi all that, so we give that point of view. So that point of view should be gone. We should stop supporting watching something that we love, where that supports actual talent with good views, like a Daniel Bryan, like a John Cena. I should just give up on those guys also. I just don't understand what your argument is. Your arguments are fucking lazy, man. Like, these arguments are lazy.
Because they're not arguments to make a point. They're arguments to move and change the point into an arena where they're more comfortable just getting you stuck in these whataboutisms. They have no argument for against any of it because it's your personal choice, right? So how are they going to – they have no facts to be like your personal choice is wrong. So they want to move the argument to a different arena of, well, what about AEW? You don't think they're blah, blah, blah? Oh, and Jericho, you paid him $50 for that pay-per-view and he said all that. It's like you are so transparently, purposely moving the topic of the conversation to a different area because you know you've lost on this other front. Right. And now you're like, well, come over here and argue about this. It's like, no, you're a dipshit. And I don't want to do that.
It's the equivalent of like you bring – like when Trump just goes like, what a nasty question.
Right.
Like, oh wow, you're a really bad reporter. As opposed to answer, like, bring up, like, addressing the actual good point they brought up. Oh no, you're being gross. You're being gross. Just for giving, like, for pointing something out. Well, listen, we got to get into the crevices of it all. It's all important. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why this stuff is complicated. We can't paint it all with broad strokes. It's like we're getting into small things. I'm pointing out. Whereas WWE's done behavior that is absolutely wrong. I'm just pointing out one guy and something that bothered me. Same reason we point out Randy Orton, his behavior. All right, anyway, we could talk about this forever. It's literally could be a loop, but it's worth our time. It's worth our time to not – I'm not into, like, diversion. So if you can find another wrestling podcast that is going to just say, let's just talk about the matches and this and that, like, I think wrestling's always been a reflection of society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also part of why I think a part of what is failing about the WWE product right now is them just trying to act like business as usual. Whereas AEW has done a couple of small things to make you realize they kind of know what's going on in this world. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to back down from that just because you go, oh, you guys are AEW marks, blah, blah, blah. We're not crazy. That's not even true. We love all wrestling. I support all wrestlers. Just small thing. New Japan is back for people, let you know.
Cool.
I think on Monday, next Tuesday, they start the
32-man tournament.
Yeah, the 32-man tournament, single elimination. So if you're looking to watch New Japan, because the tournament, by the way, the New Japan Cup starts. And they're doing a special called Together Project Special. So if you want to watch New Japan, they put it out. The brackets are out. I'm gonna be checking it out because I got to watch guys like I've been missing. Like Kota Ibushi's in the tournament. Zack Sabre Jr., who I always really dig. I know a lot of people don't are not in. Tanahashi in it. Okada, yeah, everyone's in it. It's great. So, yeah, great. All right, let's actually, while we're talking about Randy Orton, get into Randy Orton for a second because so Randy Orton, he trolled NXT Takeover. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was so funny. I loved it. He literally was like, what was his tweet? His tweet was kind of like NXT. He was like, I heard NXT Takeover was a great show. I'm slapping my leg for the show.
Something like that.
Great job. Hashtag leg slap. Now, what he's saying is that all the wrestlers, they overuse the leg slap, meaning like kicks, any of those wrestlers with the slap noise, the super kicks. It's funny. Ciampa responded and was like, hey, I needed, you know, I don't know. I was looking for a way to get my daughter to sleep, so I showed her some Randy Orton matches. was pretty funny. And then Orton responded again, and it was really funny. Check it out. I think it's really cool to see I love this side of Orton. He really is such a great fucking heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just about like
he called him the locker room leader of a wrestling school.
Yes, that was the best line. He called NXT a wrestling school. I wonder if this was a work at all. I don't think it is though. I think Randy just did it.
Yeah, I mean it's a work in the sense that they both know that it's not serious, but like I don't think Ciampa knew that tweet was coming.
No. And I think Ciampa definitely was actually annoyed, but also like these wrestlers also know they also understand the heat of it. I think that's very fucking fun. I wonder if they'll use it or go into anything. I think it'd be cool. I mean, Ciampa Orton would be interesting. A Ciampa would look very tiny.
This big.
These guys need all these guys need Orton to retire fast because Orton, when you get in the ring with Orton, it exposes your how you look as a wrestler.
Orton is the only wrestler who I think they like pitch his build height down.
Yeah,
like that man must be 7'2", and they're like, oh, he's 6'4". Like
he's like a fucking Adonis, and he's a huge prick to boot.
But anyway, it's great. I love this behavior by Orton. It's really great.
It is what's amazing about Orton. When he's doing his thing, no one is better at it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's talk a little about this Edge Orton match. That's coming up because Edge Orton at Backlash, which is, by the way, this weekend, shockingly. Mm-hmm. I'm losing all sense of time. And
what up?
Oh my god. Up? Is this Newman? Are you here?
Yeah, what up?
I'm oh my it looks it. Like Newman got it's the super troll. God. You could see on the Zoom video, the super troll is completely taking over Newman's link. Super troll, yeah. I was just talking about Edge Orton. You have something to say about that?
Oh, you mean the greatest match of all time?
The greatest wrestling match ever. That's how they're billing it as, but we all kind of know that, like,
finally, we're going back to the glory days of 2008, WWE, Ruthless Aggression. I'm pumped. This is the first time that I've been excited for a wrestling match in my entire 39 years on this earth.
39 years. Where you live right now?
Undisclosed location. I don't feel like giving you that information. In my mom's basement.
Okay. 39. Wow. Wait. You're saying the Ruthless Aggression era is the best era in professional wrestling history?
Only next to the Attitude Era. I like all the tits. I like all the sloppy matches. I like all the racism. I like all that stuff. So bring it on, dude.
Okay, I'm gonna ignore a couple of things you said there.
Well, no, I don't. Keep I don't
the show
like
going forward.
I don't like racism. It's like I like when they do racism.
No, there's no difference. There's no difference.
All right, agree to disagree, bro.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's okay. But, all right.
No, that's just a different opinion.
No, it's not. It's not a different opinion. That's wrong. Listen, I while you're here, you're saying that you think a 46-year-old Edge versus a 40-year-old Randy Orton is going to be the greatest wrestling match ever?
How would it not be? These two titans of, you got the rated R superstar. It's right there in his name. It's not for kids. It's not TV-14.
Yeah.
It's TVMA, just like the Ruthless Aggression era. Randy Orton and his support of cops and Blue Lives Matter. I love it.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, Randy Orton is now back to stance up on that and is now a supporter of – he's went back on All Lives Matter, and now he's – Black Lives Matter supporter, which is great.
Oh, is that? Look, I gotta go.
You got it. You got. He's gone.
Am I on? What happened?
The super troll he hacked into your feed. It's a glitch because the Zoom bombing.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to. Well, anyway, I'm glad he left. To be honest, I think I caught him in a hole of. We were going to talk about Randy Orton versus Edge, but all right. Anyway, well, yeah, that guy's a fucking swamp creature. All right, moving on. I've noticed from watching WWE, I keep talking about this, but they have the crowd behind this plexiglass, and the crowd is just all NXT talent.
Yeah.
And
Bugenhagen's there.
Yeah, it's Bugenhagen and like a fucking Bugenhagen in like an Oscar shirt. It's so dumb. But forget about it being dumb. The timing of it, the NXT guys are like trolling these wrestlers. Like they're heckling them basically. Like their timing, it'll be Edge will be in the ring and it'll just be like, do you know how hard I fought to get here? And they're like, so hard, man. So like, and you're like, wait, what? Like, it's not at all natural. It's like, it needs to be like toned down and like, yeah, just, it, they need to.
Well, you know what it is? It's like the, the crowd comedians at like indie shows.
Right.
Where like they're yelling, they're trying to get their joke in there. Like when like someone's going for like a drop kick off the top rope and they're like, don't turn around. Or like, they're trying to like, yeah, make these like meta jokes, you know?
It's like, it's actually like killing it because you hear them loud and clear. Just be like, shut up. It's all like, shut up. But like, there's something, I honestly think, I'm trying to figure out the difference between why it works for AEW and not NXT, WWE and NXT. And I think it's literally just because they're outside versus inside.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I think that the AEW guys are probably also doing this shit, but their sound is just kind of carrying better.
Where right.
They're in a perfectly mic'd up studio.
Yeah.
And so you just hear the crowd, and they're literally just like, what's up, dude?
Where's Doink?
Yeah. Like, Christian, it's just like, you're the peeps guy.
Yeah. We're Gangrel.
Yeah. The Brood.
Brood rules.
Well, they're just like telling, and they're also telling them, like, they shouldn't give them any direction. They should just be like, go out there, have fun, and obviously, like, don't sell anything out. But what they're telling them is, like, if someone's a face, cheer. So it's, like, completely inorganic. Like, literally, they'll just be like, Edge comes out. They're like, yeah, we like this guy. And the heel, like, boo. And you're like,
boo, we don't like this guy.
Yeah, it's like, just kind of just be more natural. It's so bad.
Well, I mean, what the interesting thing, though, is that, like, whether AEW or WWE, isn't it amazing how, like, even 25 people in the audience makes such a difference for, like, wrestling in terms of, like, watchability and interest? Right. It's like 12 people might as well be 1,000, like, it's versus zero. Like, zero people is, like, negative 1,000. And 12 or 25 people is, like, plus 1,000. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
How much wrestling loses without anybody watching.
Yeah. They lose a lot. It's WWE specifically, I think it's literally just the setup. The in studio is just not really working without a crowd. Mm-hmm. And the AEW one is, well, their trick is that they have a crowd. They basically have a crowd. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Jeff Hardy for a second.
Yeah.
So Jeff Hardy, they're using his addiction as a storyline. It's been a big topic on the Facebook group. Right. By the way, if you're not in the Facebook group, Comedians Wrestling Podcast Facebook group. Talking about wrestling at 4 a.m. under side, blessed be the fruit. Join it. If you're not joining, you're not part of the 20D experience. But a lot of people are bothered by it. I'm just curious how you feel about using his act. You know, he's been he literally fell off the wagon like, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, you know, or something. So it's very fresh.
Well, you know, like most things, it's kind of nuanced, right? Like if it depends if I don't know, it's tough because I want to say if it's his choice and if he's in on it, then who are we to say how his life information gets used as part of a storyline?
Right.
But then there's also like, if he isn't fully sober and he is back to drinking and he is back to doing drugs, then he might not be in the headspace where he's making the right decisions as far as what to put out there. Right. And maybe he even feels like if I do this on TV, if I, you know, I'm doing something like, I'm doing something about it. You know what I mean? Like maybe there's a possibility that he's tricking himself into thinking he's working on his demons when really he's just selling his demons out for whatever. So I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. If it's his decision and he's healthy and he's not, and he's actually fine and it's just his decision to use it as a storyline, then I don't see how I could have a problem with it, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like kind of the thing where it doesn't bother me personally, but it's also because like, addiction's not it's not really something that affects my life. So I'm not sensitive to it. You know what I mean? So I could see people being like, oh, I don't like this, but
they also did it in a way where it was like, oh, he wasn't actually drunk. Sheamus set him up.
Right.
So then you're kind of like, oh, but he must be comfortable with it, right? Like you're saying?
Right. That's so what I'm saying. He must be.
And wrestling really works like when we're like focusing on the reality here. And I think it's like there's a human aspect of Jeff there that I think I like. I personally like it, but I could hear someone could convince me the other way, but I think right. also like it, the problem with WWE, like a big problem with WWE is I'm watching it. It like really, when I'm watching all this, like the Miz doing like pranks and shit, WWE is like so for little kids sometimes that mm-hmm. like I appreciate the adult shit. And like, I know if AEW did this, I would like it. So I think I'm just lying if I say like they shouldn't touch right. people's addiction. I think Jeff needs to be comfortable. That's the only thing that really matters to me.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, and this is my personal preference for stuff like this, where like when you use real life stuff, and this is the same argument that I use for when people talk about should there be a Nazi character or not, like it depends on what you do with it. It depends on the message that you're trying to get across.
Right.
And if there were a situation where like we're using Jeff Hardy's addiction as like a storyline, and he has this match with Sheamus, and like, let's say hypothetically, you know, shoot, he's actually, you know, healthy and on the wagon and is fine, and they're just using his history.
Right.
It's an opportunity to tell a story where like, there's a redemption there where like he, like Sheamus beats him and he hugs him and is like, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of like storytelling that can happen that can be very deeply meaningful. Well,
my nuance of this is like the reason we can't have a Nazi character is because right. we all don't agree Nazis are bad anymore.
Right.
Where well, that's everybody my point. Believes addiction is bad. We're all like addiction is bad. Addiction is an enemy of every single human, and we all right. agree it's not good, so we can spoof it. People have ruined us parodying Nazis. I'm like all the Jewish comedians, Mel Brooks, everybody right. like has written Jewish Holocaust comedies and whatnot, and even uh-huh. like Roberto Benigni, who's not Jewish, he wrote he made a great movie. He played a Jew in Life is Beautiful, but like nowadays it's like because these morons have ruined it for everybody. I don't right. even know if that'll happen anymore.
But I guess my point is, like, if you do have a character like that, then the responsibility is to make him, like, make him a joke. Make him weak. Make him look stupid. Point out, highlight that, like, this is wrong. This is bad. He loses. He's not a champion. He's not a winner. He's a loser. Like, there's a way to make the commentary meaningful, is my
right.
point.
Right.
So, like, with the same with addiction and the same with Jeff Hardy's life, like, there's a way to make this a commentary on how damaging addiction can be. But that would require them to sort of take this medium to a different place.
And right. And also
they're obviously not willing
Vince
to go.
To not like to Vince to focus on the nuance again. And then Vince also has to not just bail on it. Like it has to be right. done right. You know? Yeah.
But if Jeffy is okay with it.
Yeah, me I'm too. Okay that's it. How I feel. I want Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles for the IC title is going to happen at Backlash. And mm-hmm. my guess is that Daniel Bryan will be winning. And then Daniel Bryan will be every single week. He already said it. He's going to do what Cody's doing right now with the TNT title. Cutting a schedule. The likes no one has ever seen. I adored Cody saying, I'm about to cut a schedule. Like no one's ever seen, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I love whenever they use the marquee jargon. That's where I become like fucking smart or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I love if they're like talk about
what it. What's cutting a schedule? Is that like shooting an email to somebody?
No, cutting a schedule just means like I'm about to cut a schedule the likes of has never been seen. Meaning he's gonna put the title on the line every week. Like he's working every week. You know, like, okay, I'm going to wrestle. Yeah, cutting a schedule means, like, I'm going to be, like, working harder than everybody else. Like,
So it is. It's like, I'm going to shoot you this email. I'm going to cut this schedule. It's like a thing you do.
Oh.
Right?
Oh. So you mean, where does the metaphor come from?
What is the cutting? Yeah, like, what does that mean? Like, I'm going to cut.
Yeah, like.
What's cut?
Cutting a schedule means I'm going to.
Because you don't cut a schedule. You don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like because you yeah I don't know
I'm gonna shoot an email the likes of which has never been seen tremendous yeah. email
Yeah, no, I actually don't know the answer, but I think they're going to do that same thing with Daniel Bryan with the title. But the
it's a good one. I think it's just funny to think about.
I think that'll be good. Daniel Bryan cut his promo was whack though. It was not delivered well. It was kind of all over the place. Daniel Bryan with the IC title will be fun, but I fucking hate that IC title. It does not look like the IC title at all. It's a nice looking belt.
You know what's funny is I totally forgot that it changed.
Shinsuke had it and it was buried for so long.
Yeah. And then when you just said IC title, in my mind's eye, I saw the old one. I totally forgot that it changed.
Yeah.
I got a hangnail page.
You got a hangnail page?
Hangnail page.
Okay. Bayley and Sasha are the tag team champions again. I will give Bayley some props. A lot of people in the Facebook group posting shit like, if anyone's ready to be a Bayley mark. I'm not a Bayley mark by any chance, but I will give her props because Bayley had a very fucking – when she won the title, she was laying on the announce table like just screaming like, and it was pretty funny. And then she had both titles and was pretending like they're so heavy, like she couldn't even drag them. That's the most personality I'd ever seen out of Bayley.
Yeah. Yeah. Currently right now, that's the one thing I cannot take away from Bayley is that she's showing 1,000% more personality than I've ever seen her ever.
She's getting such great booking. I mean, the power of booking, but good for her. I mean, good for WWE, like getting behind her, you know?
Right. This is so specific, but there is a Snickers commercial with her in it where she's hungry. So she's being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know? And it's even a different version of Bayley than is being shown now that I think more hits the mark than like what she's hitting. I encourage everybody to go back and find that Snickers commercial. It's very short, obviously, but like it's
I remember it, but I remember
where she needs to be.
But I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Here's a small thing. Small thing, but this Shorty G shit needs to end. I mean, that guy's one of the most talented guys they got on the roster.
Right.
Call him Shorty G is ridiculous. It also feels like, I don't know, weird. It feels like a rap name. It's fucking weird. Yeah.
How tall is he? Is he even that much shorter than?
He's probably 5'9". He's probably Daniel Bryan's height. But to put his height on display when he's that talented in ring is so ridiculous. Absolutely hate it.
He's 5'8". He's pretty short.
So is Daniel Bryan, though. And also, it's like, why? Like, if you want to talk about his height and be like, but this guy can go. He's so small, but he defies the odds or whatever. Like, whatever. And he's so strong. Then why call him Shorty G? Like, Shorty G's not what any white guy would call themselves. Unless they're a rapper.
They're from Long Beach.
Right, yeah. I guess it's not even about being white. It's like, it's a rap name.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's very steeped in like hip-hop vernacular.
Yeah, this guy's an Olympic athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird, too, because it's like they didn't even try to – I mean, I guess they did with American Alpha, but then they dropped that. But like you have the Steiner brothers. You have like Kurt Angle. You have even to an extent like – Drew Gulak. There's a trope of like wrestler, even Dolph Ziggler, they talk about his Kent State stuff. Like there's a trope of like a wrestler's wrestler. Like why not just do that? Like the Shorty G stuff is just so arbitrary.
Every time it's like hurts me. It bothers me.
Didn't he pick it though? I think he's the one who, I think so.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance in hell. No chance in hell.
Puppets.
All right, let's talk about – let's just move on to – I mean, Sasha and Bayley are the only way to make the women's tag champ – the titles mean something, I think. They are probably the best, like, two wrestlers, and I think they should go on a run. And they actually have been a unit for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, they probably should have never came off them, although Sasha left after WrestleMania, but – Maybe she wouldn't have flipped out if she like they kept him. I don't know. I don't really know the situation there. But yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I really did not enjoy Raw this week in particular. Oh, you wanted to talk about the decathlon.
I thought I was going to hate it. Yeah. And so, like, it was at least to me, I thought it was pretty funny. But it was at least to me, like, doing something else with the medium. Like, to the point where I think it might be cool to even have, like, a separate spinoff reality show where we see WWE wrestlers do, like, events like this. So to me, it was funny, and it also, yeah, it was just like an example of like, oh, you can do in this time where you can't have a big crowd, let's mess with the form a little bit. Let's see what else we can do in the name of wrestling. So on that point, I will defend it.
Right.
But you hated it.
I so it's funny because you said you had told me. You had told me that that it was good. I was like, oh shit.
I said it was pretty funny. I didn't say it was good.
I was like, fuck, I skipped it because I literally was like, I can't watch any more of these. And I haven't skipped any of them. I watched all of them. And then I did watch it, and then yeah, I agree. It was a good time. They're actually like whatever. They're fine. They're a little kiddie for me, but like there was some funny jokes in there, and it was like a little silly. Where I was like, oh, this is fun. It's just kind of a bummer because then they try to the Viking Raiders come out later in the show, and they're supposed to be like kind of scary, and you're like, you know, you just kind of sold out your whole gimmick.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's true.
I would love if the Viking Raiders literally were like, oh, we're descendants of Vikings, and we're like literally take this like they're like Amish kind of, where they actually like still live a Viking lifestyle. For no reason. But if you're like, oh, we're just Viking, they Encino Man them a little bit. And to me, that's always going to be a little silly. You know?
Right. Like the Street Profits should have showed up to like a longhouse and been like, this is where you live. And like, there's like people out there like making boats and like they live in like a Viking community.
Yeah, like that's what AEW did with like Lance Archer and like Jake. Like,
right.
I guess in kayfabe, they live in like the fucking bayou or some shit, and they have like a wrestling ring set out outside where,
which I love.
Yeah, and that's where they train, and like they don't, you know, they kind of stay off the grid. They gave him kind of like, so you're like, ah, you know, cool. All right, let's just look quickly at this Backlash card because it's this weekend, see where we're at. And I'll cover AEW and NXT this week on the bonus episode coming out Friday morning. I haven't watched AEW yet. But, yeah, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. Loving Drew McIntyre's headbutt, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew McIntyre is doing a great job. I was surprised.
To that point, I'm loving Bobby Lashley's Phil Nelson, too.
I know.
I
agree. It's like I think that Bobby Lashley with MVP is very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can always do a lot with Bobby Lashley. It's because he's so fucking believably jacked. There's always room for it.
Right.
You just never. It's like when he had the Lana storyline. It's just so silly. But yeah, I mean, obviously Drew's gonna beat him. Obviously, it's definitely not. I mean, I say obviously. I guess who knows?
Right.
I'm 90% sure that. Drew, I would take Drew here, but we'll keep Drew's run going. Drew's just so likable. He's so fun.
Yeah, I also like. I mean, it's probably going to be another 50 years before we see another black champion. So I think, I think Drew McIntyre is the safe bet there.
I guess I didn't even think about that. You think there's any chance they'll like for they'll want to like
no.
be like, hey, we have a black champion?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't think so. And Dream also lost also to Cole, a takeover. So, you know, they're not quick to change their plans based on the societal progress or whatever. But, not that they should or anything. It's like, we don't, you know, it's not like we want Bobby Lashley to just win the title just because
of Black Lives Matter
movement. That's also kind of silly. But it is cool that Bobby and MVP are – kind of making waves. I really think Yeah, I mean, everyone seems to be into Bobby now more, so that's good. But all right, so Drew, I think, will win. Edge versus Orton. You think Edge beats Randy clean?
Yeah.
Probably, right? Just big, because this is the, like, he still got it match, right?
Right. Right.
Strowman versus The Miz at Morrison. I guess Strowman will retain. They're not going to give the title to the two of them. They're just jokes right now. This is just going to be Strowman looking strong. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them giving it to Nia Jax.
I could see that too. I guess it just depends on whether or not Nia hurts Asuka.
I know. They might.
Yeah, during the match.
Yeah, that's true. She might. Nia might hurt Asuka so bad that Asuka can't even kick out from a takeout. are there any good examples of that happening, of by accident wins? I don't think I've ever seen any, to be honest. I'm gonna
no, because I think their training usually kicks in. Like all the examples, it's like all the wrestlers' training kicks in, and they kayfabe the ending. Like it's like Chris Jericho. There's one where like he's like yelling at the ref to like, or he's like drawing something out because he knows the person is like out on their feet. There's evidence of like times where I think wrestlers know like, oh shit, like,
all right,
this person's walking around passed out.
But you don't think it's ever time someone doesn't realize that the other wrestler is like been knocked out cold and then they just have to do a three count, because you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It's possible.
I'm going to look that up. If you've seen one, send me those. Post those in the Facebook group. Has there ever been match? I mean, don't, if they get like really hurt, whatever. But I'm just talking about a time where a wrestler like either forgets to kick out, like they miss the first hit of the match.
That I think has definitely happened.
Yeah. And then somebody wins accidentally.
Yeah. That I think definitely has happened where, because sometimes I miss it. Like the sound of the ref getting down on the mat makes me think it's the first like hit.
As someone who's wrestled a little bit, I'll just say that I wouldn't have thought about that thing except for the fact that I've had times where I felt like it could easily happen.
Right.
All right, just Jeff Hardy. I think Asuka will win, though, gun to the head. But Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus, I think Jeff Hardy wins because that's, like, the triumph of
that.
Unless Sheamus, like, gets him drunk or something. I'm not even kidding. I think that Bayley and Sasha retain against Alexa Bliss, Cross, and Iconics. And then Apollo Crews, I think, retains. And I think Andrade will get involved and take – I think Garza will take out Andrade. We'll ruin it for him.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to see Rollins versus Mysterio, and I think Rollins will beat Mysterio. Yeah.
How do you feel about the – I like the Aleister Black Rollins dynamic, though.
Yeah.
I like the curb stomp.
False, and the false idol versus the kind of – what are you talking about? Actual move?
Yeah, what you're saying. But then also the physically like holding him back. This is what you get when you try to be a hero, and then the curb stomp.
Yeah, the whole curb stomp's really cool. It's the closest thing to the curb stomp baptism that I've that I want. But I want that to convert. That would convert. I don't think you can be converted against your will. That's not what the curb stomp baptism does. It doesn't like if you get it all of a sudden. It doesn't brainwash you. It's more like just a moment of giving you your title of like you've been a great disciple. I mean, Aleister Black's really nicely positioned right now. He is doing kind of the thing we talked about. It's like he stands up against Rollins because Rollins is pretending to be like a false king or whatever. I think it's good. I think Aleister is ready for big zones, but hold off on Aleister, to bless you, until crowds are back.
Right.
Like, you need the excitement of Aleister with the crowd. He needs to, for his first run, they can't McIntyre him.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, do you think, I wonder though, when if we ever get the green light to have 13,000 people in a stadium, I wonder if people are going to flock back in that number or if it's going to be slow.
Newman, if they held a 20,000 person show in Florida right now, every
seat, you're right.
Every seat,
you're right.
You just got to choose the right state. You can't do it in Los Angeles.
Right.
Can't do it in New York. You could do it in Georgia, probably. Texas, no question.
Yeah.
All these states that they're showing you. Texas, I mean, they're showing, like, even, like, I even think, like, Barton. I think I saw a shot of Barton Springs in Austin was, like, full.
Yeah.
So that's, like, a very liberal city, too. I just think, I mean, even, like, my gym's about to open and –
I mean, like, there's new information that's come out from the.
It's from way less transmittable when you're asymptomatic. We've seen, but for me, the bottom line, it's just a risk reward thing. Like a risk reward, it's not. I mean, it's just kind of a risk thing, like management thing for yourself. You know, for me, if I don't get back to the gym soon in like some kind of real capacity, I'm like done working out on my porch. Like I'm done. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's so hard, and my mental health is suffering from being. So for me, going to the gym is it's kind of like not really optional. Like, whereas like it's kind of weird because I've been wrestling with the fact of like I really want to go out and protest.
Yeah.
But I've been holed up, and I'm like to go out with that group of people and then come home to my wife has been hard for me to wrap my head around to go out with like, and then I'm like, well, also I'll use this podcast platform, you know, to get this stuff across, and I'm gonna. Probably be more effective that way because I reach more ears this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how I've wrestled with that. But like, I'm not exactly, but then I'm like, well, but then I'll also make an exception to go to the gym, though the gym's going to open. They're saying they'll have like 4 or 5 people in at a time. So you're like, all right.
Make an appointment.
I have no idea what's the right thing. You know, I could look back and, you know, and also I did go to, a very spaced out protest thing, you know, and I like hung out in my car and honked my horn. So I did that.
Right.
So you're like, does that count? The world is strange right now. You know, the world is strange right now.
Did you go out and protest? Yeah. I did. I went, just once to the one on Sunday.
Records?
Yeah. By Capitol Records. But, I didn't march with the group. I was just kind of there on the sidelines with like one of those medical masks and then a face covering on top of that. It was all really tight.
I don't have an N95 mask.
I don't either. It's just one of these like surgical masks. And then on top of that is a just like a bandana. So I had a bunch of layers over my face and I stayed away from, I was still kind of able to maintain a distance. But I guess we'll see in 2 weeks if that was a mistake. You know, but I didn't march with the group. There was 100,000 people there. So I didn't end up marching, but, and I only stayed for about 2 hours, if that.
Right.
So it was definitely managed. Like I was like, I'm going to do this a specific way to like reduce the risk of exposure. But I had to get out there.
Right. No, I know. Anyway. All right. Well, you guys, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. I really, really, really hope that even if you kind of disagree with us in this time, I hope, and I can't change your mind or whatever, for whatever reason, I still hope you listen and hear us. Like it's, you know, hear us I'm not saying like, I think we're at the point where it's kind of non-negotiable being like, I agree, you disagree. I think you probably should agree with us. Maybe there's always going to be some room for nuance of something we said wrong or blah, blah, blah. I'd be open to that. But I hope you enjoy, you know, I don't know, having these real conversations with us. And I do think it's interesting. It affects everything. COVID-19, all these issues going on with the fallout of George Floyd's murder. It's amazing how this affected our society so much that it's easy to talk about it in how it relates to pro wrestling, you know?
Right.
So I just think it's kind of unavoidable in that way. So, all right. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to this podcast. Check us out. Support the Patreon. That's how we keep this podcast going, frankly. So patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. If you listen every week, you should be giving us a little bit of cash. But in these hard times, if you don't have any, I understand. All right. everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast and stay safe. Do what's best for you. And listen to the New Day podcast. These guys who we've been entertained by forever. Listen to them talk about what it meant for Kofi to win that title and how that actually matters. Yeah, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen up.
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.